was going 7 years ago.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
Ask me the questions I won't know.
That the only thing we have to fear is
history
Are you ready to get
I'm so ready. Okay, we're going to get into the meat of the podcast. You tell them about this part.
Okay, so we're going to have a famous dead person from the netherworld come and be interviewed. Someone we've taken great pain to get. It's a very sought-after guest here on History Bluffs, I would believe.
Big get for us.
Big get for us. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest tonight, one of the pioneers of rock and roll, a superstar and a legend in his own right. We're very happy to have him here on the show, Mr. Buddy Holly. I don't see him. Where is he? Oh, there he is. Summoned from the netherworld. It's Buddy Holly, ladies and gentlemen.
He looks just like I thought. Here? Man, thanks for...
Whichever seat you'd like. Sure, yeah, put some distance between us.
Yeah, no, someplace for my
For your libation, that's fine.
Oh, I got one of those.
So the way this works is we've got a list of 20 questions about Mr. Holly's storied career and life, and we're just going to go down the list and learn a little bit about you and about your career. Maybe our listeners don't know. And then we'll let you get back to, you know, whatever you're doing in the afterlife. Does that sound okay?
That sounds perfect.
Let's start at the beginning of your story, and I'd like you to tell me, what is your date of birth? What's your birthday?
I was born November 14th, 1932.
November 14th, 1932. And where were you born? What was the city you were born in?
Well, technically, Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Technically?
Technically.
Meaning that's where I was born. Is that what you asked?
Yeah. Right, yep, exactly. Yep. You nailed it.
Wanted to make sure that's the question.
Now, Buddy Holly is not your given name. It's not your
no.
Christian name, as we all know. It's a surname. What was your actual name? What was your birth name?
Ralph Vanderbilt.
Ralph Vanderbilt. It's not very rock and roll at all.
Not at all, no.
Is Vanderbilt a prominent name in Cedar Rapids?
I guess it was... we came from a very wealthy family.
Oh, yeah?
And, it's just not cool to be, you know, in that business.
Sure, in the wealth business?
No, you know. You want to be rock and roll, you know. Yeah. You want to be small town.
Of course.
Small town guy. And so that's kind of the persona that I took on once I changed the name.
Well, that
that's what John Mellencamp does here.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, small town guy.
Oh, small town guy. Lots of money.
Yeah.
John Mellencamp lives in a pink house in the area. He fights authority. His wife's name's Diane.
Right.
I don't know anything about John Mellencamp. Well, apparently I know a fucking lot about John Mellencamp. That's a complete lie. So with that being said, why Buddy Holly? Why that name? What resonated with you from Randolph Vanderbilt? Well, I'm sorry.
Ralph
Vanderbilt.
My middle name is Holly.
Mm-hmm.
And
Randolph Holly kind of, Vanderbilt.
So I decided I was going to go with the middle name. And then Buddy, I don't know how we got that. I think that a lot of my friends... would call me Buddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Seriously, couldn't remember your name.
You know, they would just like see me and be, hey, buddy.
Now, are you sure these were your friends or just random people that you ran into on the street?
You know, the people that I called friends, you know.
Which, if you're rich, everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I'd be, showing up to the bar and, pulling out a bunch of cash. And
everybody's like, Buddy!
Yeah. And so so it stuck, you know.
Getting into your musical talents,
yes.
You learn to play a variety of instruments at a very young age, some conventional, some really not conventional, in my opinion. Tell us a few of those instruments that you did learn to play.
Well, it started originally. Now, remember, they didn't have the electric guitar.
Back in 37.
They might have.
Okay.
I just didn't have one. But
no electricity in Cedar Rapids?
By they,
no,
you meant your family.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, I got into the stringed instruments, though. I did a little bit of violin, a little bit of lute.
Lute?
Yeah, I played some sitar, and I was like a real...
Did you find that to be very lucrative?
Kid for Cedar Rapids at that time.
That's close.
lutist.
So lute, that's not conventional by any means. What did you do with your lute when you were playing? Was this something you would do in public? Or?
Well, it was sort of a precursor to my guitar playing. I was playing a little bit of ragtime.
ragtime?
A little bit of... sort of a hybrid bluegrass kind of meets
sure
blues.
That's
so I called it bluesgrass.
Bluesgrass?
Yeah.
Your first musical.
It's still called today.
It is very popular. Your first musical performance was at the age of 5 at a talent show, and you sang one of the most popular songs of the day. What was the name of that song?
You're probably talking about Day by Day.
Day by Day. Now, yeah,
which was an old Cole Porter song.
Oh, Cole Porter. Can you sing, just belt it a little? We'll pay for the rights. Just maybe a couple of lines of Day by Day, just to refresh the listener's memory.
Day by day, I'm falling more in love with you.
This is wonderful.
Very heartfelt.
Day by day. And I would just sort of just be sitting
just belting
there
it out.
Now, in Cedar Rapids, playing my lute and doing a little bit of, you know.
Did you play the lute when you did this
sure,
Cole Porter
sure.
song?
Oh,
they
yeah.
had a lute arrangement for it?
Yeah, absolutely. And people hated it.
Oh, so you didn't do well at the talent show at all?
No, not at all. That's some of this stuff kind of gets, you know, exaggerated as years go by. No, I tanked.
You were five, right?
Yeah.
You were 5 years old. I mean,
but
how,
my parents
with your
had
loot.
To, like, you know, cover me on the way to the parking lot because people were so pissed off.
A five-year-old?
Yeah. No, they were just like, what was that shit? That was the worst kid
that
I've ever
five-year-old
seen.
Rich yeah. kid playing the lute, the worst.
Fuck him.
Yeah,
we
fuck
need to get
kid.
Him a new name and change everything. So that's why I picked up the guitar. Yeah.
Tell us someone from your past, someone that you would know very well when you were a young man, a person named Bob Montgomery. Tell us who Bob Montgomery was.
Bob Montgomery. God, what do you say about Bob? Well, he was my first manager.
He was your manager?
Yeah.
How old were you when he discovered you?
Well, I guess I probably would have been early teens.
Oh, okay. So 13, 14, around there?
Yeah. Still a virgin.
You know, I don't know why that's pertinent at all.
No, but, you know, until later that summer.
You mean
because
now?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Currently.
So what brought him to you? How did he discover you?
I was I was very young, very attractive.
Of course, yes, and a virgin.
I was just playing a little ball at the playground there after school, and
so this is not sounding good to me.
Here comes this guy, and he's got letter. This white van, and he was like, "Hey, man, jump in!" And I got candy, and I was like,
I want
candy.
To represent
yeah.
you.
You're talking about Bob Montgomery.
Yes,
oh,
Bob
I thought
Montgomery.
You were talking
yes.
about that guy in the white van. No. Bob Montgomery was my manager. I didn't meet him till way later on.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Your music did, as you mentioned, take a turn in your teenage years after seeing one artist in particular perform. Very impactful, the performance was. Who was this artist, and why was it so impactful to you?
Elvis Presley.
It was Elvis Presley,
yeah.
the king of rock and roll. Now, what about...
Well,
oh, sorry, he wasn't the king at that time.
He called himself the king of
I
rock
see.
And roll, and we were all kind of like, all right, yeah, and I'm like the, you know...
You didn't agree. You didn't think he was royalty.
Well, no, I don't think you can call yourself that. Other people need to call you that.
I see. Now, we had Elvis on the program before, and he had nothing but nice things to say about you.
Well, let me finish. he was a nice guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he was all right.
Now, you changed the name of your band a few times, eventually settling on The Crickets. Mm-hmm. Which was Buddy Holly and the Crickets, a very well-known name.
Sure.
What were some of the names that you didn't go with? The names that you sort of tried out, maybe for a show or two, and just were like, it doesn't really work.
Buddy Holly and the Dark Lords.
The Dark Lords.
That was.
I like that one.
You know.
Would have been better, you know, now. Now I think nowadays that would play pretty well.
Yeah, no, we were a little bit ahead of our time on that one.
Any other ones that come to mind that you can?
The Buddy Highland, I'm sorry, Buddy Holly, and the I'm drunk.
Okay.
the Iron Freaks.
The Iron Freaks.
Later, there was a guy named Iron Sheik who kind of ripped us off. But then there was, Buddy Holly, and the Abyss.
And the Abyss. That sounds
yeah.
deep.
Yeah.
I did not mean to do that whatsoever. I am not that funny.
That is really the first time he's been funny on stage. It's very impressive.
That's great. We played at our high school dance as Buddy Holly and the Abyss.
And then you were just like, this is a little too dark. Let's go.
Yeah,
there.
And so we wanted to pep it up a little bit. So crickets.
Sure, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
Very animated, lovable animals.
Yeah. Very true. You were eventually signed by a record company and, mm-hmm. and put out there to the world. What was the name of the record company that signed you?
World Class Records.
World Class yeah. Records. How would we know them? What are some of the other artists maybe that World Class had on their label?
Dan Gritzel.
Oh, sure.
Jeez. there were so many. Jesse,
Dan Gritzel.
Jesse Kalb.
My favorite name ever.
Fred Baldwin. Mm-hmm. I mean, these were the guys.
The big guys.
I mean, everybody talked
time.
About Elvis. Fred Baldwin was basically doing Elvis before Elvis
oh, okay.
was doing
sure, yeah.
Yeah.
So your first sessions recording for World Class Records included the recording of one of your most beloved hits, maybe the song you're most known for. What was that song called?
Well, you're probably talking about Wake Up Little Susie.
Wake Up Little yeah. Susie. Okay, yeah. Big hit. We all know that. Sure, you guys know that,
yeah.
right? Yeah, of
yeah.
course. What inspired you to write this song? Tell us the story of what inspired you to write Wake Up Little Susie.
Well, and then give it to the Everly Brothers later.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. We will. We'll
like
get
to
into
get
it.
Into that.
Again, all this stuff gets kind of twisted around. It's just rock and roll, you know. It's
only
like,
rock and roll.
I remember I had a girlfriend at the time. Her name escapes me, but I remember trying to wake her up. And
sure.
Yeah, and I just started singing this song and
sort of get her out of bed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, what did she have to do? Like, you had to get her out of bed.
Well, I just we had to get her off to school and you know.
College.
I mean, things were a lot different back then.
Of course.
It was Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Well, she
in the
was
30s,
little
you know?
Susie.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's not Wake Up Big Susie.
Oh, that's
That'd
it.
Be a different song.
You knew her name.
I mean, you told us that it was Little Susie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. But
you were one of the first artists to ever write a sequel to a song, which is kind of a strange idea, but you wrote a sequel to a very popular song that you released, and then that sequel was also very popular. What was the name of the song in the sequel that you came out with?
Are you talking about Go Back to Bed, Little Susie? that was a follow-up. I didn't know anybody heard it. It was the B-side.
It was good. It was really good.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, no, you're probably talking about, God, and you got to forgive me. My memory is a little off here.
Uh-huh. He's been dead for a long time, folks.
Yeah. The song was I'm Not Gonna Go With You is the original
I'm Not
song.
Gonna Go With You.
Yeah.
And what was the sequel called?
That was Okay, I'll Go. That was, you know, it was sort of a two-parter.
You needed two songs to
yeah,
hash
yeah.
that whole
you
idea.
You really did, yeah. But they were catchy tunes, and that's kind of what got me my start.
How many albums did you release as a band, the Crickets? How many records did you guys put out? Let's say long plays, LPs, the full-length albums.
Yeah, well, we only put out 7 records.
7? That
yeah.
seems like a lot. Can you name a couple of those for us? Just what were they called? Just rattle
oh,
off the...
Oh, gosh. Why Wasn't I Told About This? was our big
that's,
one.
That's an odd title.
Yeah, no, that was... A lot of our stuff was sort of inside, you know, for the safety of the passengers, the bus driver can't take any bills larger than $5. That was a big, big one.
Now, it either seems like there was no thought put into these titles at all or too much thought put into these. I mean, were you
yeah.
trying to be really artsy or?
You know, I mean, it was the 30s, you know. Everything
it sure
was. It was free love,
it
you
sure
know. There was,
was
all kinds of stuff happening, you know. And, I don't know. I mean, I think we were sort of forging a new generation.
It's rock and roll.
Yeah.
It was the birth of rock and roll.
So everything was experimental, you know. I mean, later, the songs that you've come to know and love from all the people mm-hmm. In rock and roll have a certain thing. But you don't realize there was a lot of experimentation going on.
Like what? Give us an example.
You know, like people would write a song just called... Tattoo Cock, you know, and they'd be like, is this any good? And then people would be dancing, they're like, not really, no. I'd be like, all right, well, we'll throw it out. And then you know, and then eventually it became, you know,
sure,
Hound Dog and
of course,
you know, all
yeah
that kind of stuff.
Now, one of the main reasons that your band only released or did release 7 records and not more was that they split up. Tell us, Buddy Holly, why did the band break up? Why did the Crickets disband?
We had a drummer that had a very oppressive foot odor.
Okay.
Yeah, and we talked to him about, is there any way that you could, you know, just see somebody about this because it's bumming us out, you know? And he had, it was called, what was it, like, bromidrosis, I think it was. And it's some wow. condition where you get, like, an inflamed vein in your foot, and he had to have his foot elevated at all times.
Which seems hard to play the drums,
for a drummer. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we're up there playing, you know, our songs at the high school dance.
Like, go back to sleep, little Susie.
Yeah, and this guy's got this swollen purple foot just, like, sticking out in everybody's face. And ooh,
that's a good band name.
So,
Swollen purple foot.
Swollen purple yeah. foot, sure.
So, eventually he had enough.
Okay.
And he was like, let's break up the band.
You were offered a spot on a tour called the Winter Dance Party.
Yes.
But because of breaking up, you know, the Crickets, you needed people to back you up to, mm-hmm. to you know, a new group of Crickets, if you will. And one of these musicians that you did bring in went on to have an incredibly successful career himself after you had stopped recording. Who was this artist? He played the bass guitar in the band.
Alan Thicke.
Alan
Thicke.
That, I'll admit, that's yeah. surprising to me.
Who, now his son is really popular in your world, I believe.
What's his name? His
Alan
son?
Alan Thicke's kid.
Is that his name?
I don't know. We always just referred to him as Alan Thicke's kid. I don't remember. What
now, do you mean Alan Thicke? I believe I know him as a television actor. Is that he's he?
What's
from
that?
Growing Pains? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay, same
eventually
guy.
Eventually, he became the dad on some horrible show. Yeah, but he was a killer bass player. And, you know, he's been around a lot longer than I think any of you guys know. As a matter
sure.
of fact, he was 35 when I met him in 1937.
In 1937.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That makes him pretty damn old.
Yeah, but he's, you know, some of these guys are just timeless.
Timeless.
Yeah.
Los Angeles.
Why isn't he... dead, you know? That's what I keep asking myself.
Now, during your last meeting with Alan Thicke, mm-hmm. He said something to you. This is the last time you ever saw each other that he regretted for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. Something that he tortured himself over. What did he say?
Oh, boy.
It was a specific, it was one sentence.
A little bit.
I know it's personal, and it's got to hurt to bring up these memories, but.
But go ahead and
yeah. yeah. Well, he said. Do anything you want to me. And I don't know.
Mistake,
I mean,
yeah.
what does a guy mean when
it's
he says that?
More of a
that,
command,
you know?
If
yeah,
you ask
exactly.
me.
Exactly. But apparently we had totally different ideas of what he was talking about. So I don't know. I don't know who says that to somebody anyway.
We're coming to the end of your story, and as we always have to do here on History Bluffs, we have to talk about your unfortunate demise and what
yes.
took you from us, mm-hmm. From this mortal soil. So tell us, to start, what was the date of your death? When did you die?
Well, it's not something I like to talk about a lot, but
you
I believe it
yeah.
was 1957, yeah.
and month and date. What was the date, the exact day that you died?
August 13th.
August 13th, 1957.
Yeah.
And how did you die? What was the manner of your death?
This is hilarious. we were doing a gig at this place in Iowa. I think it was in Waterloo.
Mm-hmm.
And Richie Valens was there. He
sure.
was a guy that we were touring with at the time, and the Big Bopper.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
And Richie had to make a phone call,
sure.
I guess. And we were like, come on, let's go. We got to get out of here. And I guess Richie was calling his girlfriend,
okay.
Donna.
Donna, sure.
I'm trying to remember this from the movie,
okay.
so it's hard. But... apparently, our pilot needed to make a phone call, too.
Okay.
To ask a very crucial question about whether it was safe to take off in terrible weather.
Mm-hmm.
And he was never able to make that phone call because Richie was talking to his girlfriend.
And?
The pilot was like, well, fuck it. Let's just go anyway.
As pilots are wont to do.
Yeah. And so we all get in the plane, and it turns out the weather's terrible, and the answer is no, you can't fly in that kind of weather. And we all looked at Richie and we're like, well, we're dead. So
thanks a lot.
Yeah, buddy.
Ugh, La Bamba wasn't that good.
Yeah, I know. It's like, couldn't you have cranked out a couple more hits before this happened? And but I was happy because I had made a pretty good name for myself. By
how
that
time. And so let me get the math. 27, like when you died?
He's a young man.
That seems very
yeah.
young, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at the time it was very young, but now if you look look at, you know, rock stars nowadays. Sure, that's about the average life expectancy.
27. Kurt Cobain died at 27. Jim Morrison died at 27. Lots of famous people died at 27.
I set sort of a trend in terms of that, you know.
You were a trendsetter.
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, I know those guys too, and I hang out with them.
Are you? Can I ask if you're in heaven or hell? Is that rude to ask? I don't know if that's even rude.
I think it's incredibly rude, but if you'd like to answer, you can.
You don't have to answer.
It's not really the way everybody thinks of it.
Mm-hmm.
The way it works is...
I've been dying to know this. I didn't even...
if you're sort of like, you're not, you know, amazing of a person, and then you're not, you know, Neil Sedaka or whatever. You're just sort of in the middle.
Good choice.
Calendar Girl.
You go to a place that's very similar to this. you just watch this show, and it goes on.
That
forever.
Sounds awful.
And I was going to say, just about these guys. You know, like, one of the guys that I'm pals with, John Bonham.
Okay.
Great.
Led Zeppelin's drummer. Yeah, and he supposedly had choked on his own vomit. That's what we were all told, right? That he choked on his vomit.
Sure. Yeah. Right.
And you guys probably know people that drink a lot.
Mm.
Anybody choked on
absolutely.
Their own vomit?
No, never.
Yeah, I mean,
no.
Okay, so let's just say that was the cover story.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did he actually die? Do you want to tell us?
No,
okay.
I can't tell you that. But let me just say that if the cover story is he choked on his own vomit,
imagine what the
chances
real story
are,
is.
It's a bad thing.
And
that's
finally,
not what he choked on.
If our listeners wanted, wow, that's disgusting. If our listeners wanted to visit you and your remains here on this planet, where would they go to do so? Where are you buried? Where are your remains?
I'm buried in Iowa, somewhere between Waterloo and Bettendorf.
So, Bettendorf.
Yeah, Bettendorf, Iowa.
Wow, that's weird. Why would you cheer at that?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good place.
Is there
place.
Someone
they've
from Bettendorf here?
They've got a riverboat casino there. And
that's how they memorialize you. Just come and, you know, drop a few chips in.
Let's just say I'm happier about where I am right now than that riverboat casino. That's definitely the truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, how about a big round of applause for our guest, Mr. Buddy Holly?
Thanks, okay. Everybody.
Stick around. We'll go over the correct answers.
Oh, sure.
We've had a wonderful time and we've learned a lot. And please
enjoy eternity.
At the end of my river of memories, did you ever go sailing down the river of memories to little log cabin that's nestled among sycamore trees where the sunshine is dreary.
This is our guest. You've already seen him do stand-up. This is Henry Phillips. He's absolutely amazing.
You guys, it's been Henry Phillips this whole time.
The whole time it was just Henry Phillips.
The jig is up.
Henry is incredible. Just for the people listening to the podcast, you want to plug anything? It's at Henlips on Twitter, right?
Yeah, Henlips. And that's my name on most of these things. Instagram.
Sure.
You know. I try to tell people to go to the... everybody in Bloomington's doing a really good job of it, but I just try to tell people, go to henryphillips.com.
Mm-hmm.
It says videos.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look at all my video series.
Everything
I've got several. You and Your Fucking Coffee.
It's wonderful.
I have one episode series called Henry's Gym and Henry's Kitchen, the Lost Episodes, The Loner. They're all on there. And the reality is the only reason I do it is just because it's fun.
Sure,
it's fun when people see it. If people don't watch it, then I kind of get where I'm like, well, what am I doing this for? So so that's really the only thing I have to plug is to tell people to go watch those videos. And if you like them, share them with your friends.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got stuff on iTunes people can buy.
Yeah,
you got three CDs on iTunes?
I've got five 11? CDs on
five,
there.
Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
One of them is under the name Jose Suicidio.
And that's your most recent one, right?
Yeah. That's my alter ego from my kitchen videos. It's the... the depressing soundtrack.
It's amazing.
To my
I cannot recommend it enough. It's
thanks,
it's
man.
Fantastic. And Henry's Kitchen is just incredibly sadistic and hilarious.
And more to come. I'm going to try to crank out one before the end of the year for
awesome,
sure.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming. Dave is going to. Hey,
guys.
Whoa. What? Come on. Come on. You're getting ahead of yourself.
Feel free to applaud whenever, I think.
Dave is going to go over the answers, and we're going to see how you did with these 20 questions. How do you think you did as far as a right-wrong? How many do you think you got right?
I think I probably got Three right.
I think that's a pretty accurate guess.
Or at least give him a close. point for that.
Do I, like with the dates, can I be within several maybe months?
It depends on how we're feeling.
Yeah, okay.
All right, here's a Buddy Holly was born Charles Hayden Holly, no E.
I did say Charles. No, I said Ralph. Sorry.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt.
Yeah, Vanderbilt.
Yeah, well, that one.
His mom just called him Buddy. That's the end of that story.
Yeah.
Because his mom didn't know his name either. he dropped the E from Holly because his record contract people dropped it on accident.
They accidentally put his name as Holly when his name was spelled Holley. So he was just like, that's my name now.
Whatever.
So there we go. So, yeah, that's why he's known as Buddy Holly.
From a very early age, he was playing guitar, piano, fiddle, banjo, lap steel guitar, no lute, unfortunately.
Nope.
I said violin. That's similar to a fiddle.
That's very similar
to a fiddle.
That is
the same instrument. That's the same.
I don't know if there's a difference. I don't think there is.
Nope.
One's used by country folk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One's used by Asians. Is that appropriate?
Yeah, that's a nope. he won first prize in the local talent show for playing the song, Have You Ever... Gone Sailing Down the River of Memories.
We all know and love that song.
Yeah, great.
Very popular.
Great hit. But then he saw Elvis Presley and he was like, fuck that. I want to play rock and roll. And then he
That's a point right there. Elvis Presley, absolutely.
Yep. Then he ditched his high school friend, Bob Armstrong, who we've never heard of.
Bob Montgomery. I'm sorry, does it say Armstrong? It's Bob Montgomery.
Oh, you put Armstrong on
there. I have no idea why I did that. It's Bob Montgomery was his name.
You can tell how much work I put into the podcast by like, this is what it says on the sheet of paper that Bob did all the work for. But he ditched him after that and was like, I want to play rock and roll and you're not a rocker. So then he started his own band.
Yep.
They were originally the Two Tones and the Three Tunes.
Yep. There's two different bands, the Two Tones. And he's like, nah, the Three Tunes is better.
And it was not.
It was not.
And then they settled on the Crickets, and this I think is interesting. He originally wanted to go with the name Beatles.
Yep, Beetles.
And then the Beatles later chose their name partly in homage to Buddy Holly and the Crickets.
And the Crickets, yeah.
Oh, so it's
very, very, very interesting.
You learned something on this podcast.
Yeah,
crazy.
They signed to Decca Records, and during their first recording session, they laid down the song That'll Be the Day.
Yep, maybe his biggest hit. That'll Be the Day. Yep.
yeah, maybe.
I'm not thinking of Buddy Holly, apparently.
They had seen the film The Searchers, and John Wayne kept using the catchphrase, That'll Be the Day, and Holly was like, John Wayne's cool.
Yep.
So we're gonna do that. He recorded the song Peggy Sue, and then Peggy Sue got married.
Yep.
Later, a hit film.
Well, I don't know if it was a hit film. It was a film.
They only recorded three albums. The Chirping Crickets, Buddy Holly, and That'll Be the Day. And then they broke up because Holly wanted to move to New York.
He wanted to. It was the late 50s, early 60s. He wanted to be in New York. He wanted to be a party guy. So
it's a good idea. He replaced outgoing members with new Crickets, one of which was Waylon Jennings.
Waylon Jennings, one of the creators of outlaw country music, and you may know him as the narrator of the Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, also he did music.
Yes,
so who knew?
He was very famous at it.
And due to poor conditions during the winter dance party tour, Holly chartered a plane for the band to avoid a cold trip to the next venue. Jennings gave up his seat to the Big Bopper, and Holly jokingly told Jennings, I hope your old bus freezes up. And Jennings replied, well, I hope your old plane crashes.
And it did.
And it did.
Ouch.
Yeah. And it tormented Waylon Jennings for decades. Like, that's the last thing he said to his friend. I hope
your plane crashes.
And it did.
Hey, when that happens.
The plane crashed February 3rd, 1959.
Known as the day the music died in that wonderful song by that guy nobody knows.
I know that guy.
Yeah, who cares?
Don McLean.
It crashed outside of Clear Lake, killing everyone on board.
Richie Valens, the
Big
Bopper.
You were right about
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he's buried in Lubbock Cemetery outside of his birthplace, Lubbock, Texas.
That's right.
Very sad. That's the story of Buddy Holly,
that's
everybody.
That's the story of Buddy Holly. It's very sad, but, you know, we had some laughs about it. I think four?
Four is what I got.
Four out of 20, that's 20%. That's pretty good. That's
better
respectable.
Better than I thought I'd do. Yeah.
One more time for our friend, Mr. Henry Phillips,
guys. All right,
guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for sticking around. My name is Bob Nugent. This is David Britton.
Yeah, you guys enjoy Eternity, too.